And we're going to go back to our opening verse that I ministered on this morning. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor." And I am going to minister further this evening on the amazing thing that we have in our Wonderful Counselor, because so many times in life we don't know which way to go. I know a lot of times when we get to the point of life where we feel like we may need to see an earthly counselor is when we're struggling with a trauma, struggling with chaos. We don't know how to balance things. We don't know which decisions to make. And I have absolutely nothing against earthly counsel. But what I can tell you is there are matters of the heart and matters of a person's life that literally only God can help them with. And for those things, I encourage you to seek the Wonderful Counselor. And so go with me now to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look in verse 5 and 6. And I think there's a lot of times where things happen in our life and we do not understand them. And because we don't understand them, we have trouble trusting God with those things. There's things that happen and we think, I mean, I'll keep it honest with you. There are just things that happen and you have to, you stop and you say, God, why did you let that happen? God, why did you allow that to happen? We think, well, if we serve a God that controls everything and he has his hand on everything, then, you know, it's the classic question, why do bad things happen to good people? And what I can do is just refer you right back to the Word of God where it says it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And in this life, there's problems. There's just things that come up. And that's not a cop-out, but that is just biblical. There are things that in this lifetime that you are going to struggle with. The Word of God tells us this. It says in this life you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. And then it gives us, it says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And it's hard to be of good cheer when there's things that's gone on that you don't understand. There's a lot of times where we end up in the trial of our faith that we did not create. I understand suffering when you've done something that warrants the suffering. But many, many times we find ourselves in the middle of a problem that we did not create, in the middle of a battle to no fault of our own. And in those moments, you got to go to the counselor, because if you don't, the devil can get in there very quickly, because We want to search out and we want to know, why did this happen? How did it happen? So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." With all of your heart. And my question to you tonight is, can you be okay with not knowing the why? Can you be okay with not knowing the why? There are things that I sit and I think, why did that happen? Why did that happen? What I can tell you this evening is you can trust God with the things that you don't understand. And he will give you the best counsel on those matters. He will give you the best counsel on those matters. It's the things we can't understand that tear us up the most. Because our human heart wants to sit there and struggle and try to search out why this and why that. One of the things since 2008 that on a bad day baffles me, on a day where I'm feeling all spiritual and great, I'm all right. But in 2008, one of the darlings of Paris Christian Center, Mark Bain, was killed very tragically, and he was 28 years old, and he had two babies. And within probably less than 5 minutes, my dad was called right there where he was and took the sheet off of his face, saw him there laying dead on the ground. And, you know, when you've got to explain things to little babies and you've got to look them in the face and you have to say, your daddy's gone, he's never coming back, that does something to people. And I remember, gosh, that was a long time ago. But, and he is, and we have a building out of memorial for him. And I have often sat and just said, God, of all of the people, why did that happen? Now I get if you're a lot more spiritual than me. I'm good with that, and I'm happy that you are. You may not wonder why things happen like that, but I do. And it's been something that I've just had to settle, that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I've just had to say, here's what I've had to tell myself, Angel. Before Mark ever hit the ground, he was in the presence of God. And before that was ever allowed to happen to him, that crossed over the desk of God, and God knew it. And God allowed that. Now, this is the type of preaching that really just gets people. If you're real just touchy-feely, you're going to get all in your feelings. We don't like to think about God letting things happen. Well, Mark has a brother named MJ. MJ looks exactly like Mark. I mean, if you had those two standing side by side and you didn't really know them, you'd have trouble picking one out from the other. About 4 months ago, MJ Bain showed up at my house, and he's actually helping build my house. And him and I got to talking one day. And we both went to squalling and bawling. And I told MJ, I said, man, your brother loved God. He didn't just fancy him. He didn't just care about him. He loved him with every fiber of his being. MJ and I both, we just had to agree we were just going to have to stop talking about it. Because he had to work, and I need to get out of their hair. But there's things that you've got to trust God with, because you're not going to know the why entirely until you get up there. And something tells me when we get up there, we're probably not going to care. It becomes irrelevant. But it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, I think that humans, when I really think about how quirky we are and all of our things, I think that we actually understand very little. you can't lean on what you can understand. You got to lean on God. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And there's times where you just want to call somebody up and you want them to just tell you what to do. And it's funny because we'll call everybody that'll pick that phone up. But the one person, many, many times that we fail to call first is God. Is God. I personally believe, because of what the Bible says, you know, there's a lot of protection. When you've got people in your life that can speak into your life and they will tell you how it is instead of telling you what you want to hear from them. I think that every person needs a board of advisors in their life, people that they trust, that can speak into their life. I've got about 3 or 4. And Angie, the older I get in the Lord, I know when I can call on those people and let them speak in my life, but there's times where I don't even bother calling them because the truth of the matter is there are some problems and situations that literally only God can help me with, and I just talk to him about those things. And there's tears that have been shed that really can only be shed in his presence. So go with me to Psalms chapter 73. We're going to look at verse 21. Now this is Asaph. And the last time that I preached out of this, Dad goes, I love Dad. He's the most anointed person I know. And he said, Kelly, that was not a psalm of David. That was a psalm of Asaph. And he said, I bet nobody else knows that. So just so you know, more than just David wrote the psalms. And when you're reading the psalms, look up at the chapter, and it'll tell you who wrote that specific one. This one's from Asaph. The funny thing about that is all while we were growing up, Dad thought he wanted another child. He wanted a son. He never got one of them. Casey and I were both actually supposed to be boys, and our baby blankets were baby blankets for boys, and they were blue and all of the things. And he always told Mother that if he had a son, he was going to name the son Asaph. That's probably why he never had a son. I'm guaranteeing my mother probably prayed against that. We did not want to do that to some poor little boy. So in Psalms chapter 73, verse 21, here he is. And I love the Psalms because it seems to me in the Psalms, it is kept very real and very raw. And I like that because that's how life is. It is very real and it's very raw. And so he says here, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered. How many have been grieved? And how many of you have been bitter? Amen. That's the time you need the counseling really the most. But he says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. What is he really saying? When I was grieving and bitter, I wasn't at my best. I wasn't at my best. And I think there's times where you just have to say to yourself, I'm not at my best. If you continually keep saying, I'm fine, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be very confused about what's up and what's down and what you stand for and who you are. Because when everything is not fine, you shouldn't tell yourself and others that you're fine. And so he says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and embittered and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. The counsel of God is like no other, because God's not going to lead you and guide you with wrong counsel. He's not going to guide you and counsel you into sin. I know people that have gone to counseling. Counseling told them, it's okay to step out of your marriage and do whatever you want to do, as long as it makes you feel good. Well, how many of you know God would not give you that advice or counsel? And I'm not against counseling one bit. I've had it myself on two different seasons of my life that were very difficult. But at the end of that, here's what I concluded. They did not do a better job than God. And sometimes in our life, we are wanting an instant fix on a problem. And some of these problems didn't occur instantly, and they're not going to be fixed instantly. There are some things that's going to take some time to work out. And because our world has made everything instant for us, we have gotten spoiled to that. And if we can't get the counsel of God when we want it and how we want it with the outcome that we want, we think that it's as long as we can get someone to come on board with the nonsense that we want to do or the way that we want to do it. But see, there's certain things that God will never approve of. And one of the things that God will never do is he'll never change his word. That's what he'll never do. And so here Asaph is, and he makes the recognition, I'm not at my best, but by golly, your counsel guides me, and at the end of my life, you're taking me into glory. So what I can tell you about the counselor is he has the best guidance. Can you be led? Can you be led? The counsel and guidance of God sometimes will take you to things that you don't really want to do. Case in point. How many of you get a little bit uncomfortable when you know somebody doesn't like you and you've got to be around them? Does that make you uncomfortable? It makes me uncomfortable. I've actually been known to just dodge whole places just to not be uncomfortable. Well, the other day, I was going to the coffee shop, and I had an armful of stuff. And I don't believe in coincidences, but I do believe in divine appointments. And here I am, bebopping around. It's Friday, and I'm just thrilled, thank God. We're off to the weekend. Not that that makes any much of a difference for me, but there you got to be happy about something. So thank God it's Friday. We're going to be happy about that. And I am having the worst time opening the door to get in this place. And here I am struggling. And I see people in there, Brother Mike, and I am wondering, why nobody is getting off of their fanny and helping me get in the door. Well, finally, I get myself, here's, not that I'm the devil, but I get my foot in the door, and then I'm able to get in the door. Now, that's kind of like how the devil is. He'll get his foothold, he'll get a little crack, and then he gets in. Well, that's how I got into that place. I got my foot in there, and I finally am able to get in, and it becomes very, very apparent for me why nobody got up. Because they were my enemies at the table. Now, here's what I know about God. I am standing on his word that says he will make even my enemies be at peace with me. Number one. And number two, the other verse that I'm standing on is the fact that he also says in his word that he prepares a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. And so I've asked God, Lord, put me in the path of my enemies. Now, I didn't want him to do that Friday, but see, God doesn't work off of my time frame. He's going to get me to where I'm not expecting it. So I get myself up in there and I'm thinking, oh, God, can't stand them people. We'll get down where we live. I'm about 20 minutes into the message, but we're going to get there. And then they start giving me the stink eye. And then they start their yapping. And I could tell it was about me. And oh, I've got that Italian female blood running through me. And something happens to you. I never believed this, but when you get about 40 years old and you're a woman, there's things that just start happening and your whole mood, everything starts to shift. And I stood up there at that counter. And I just thought, I can't stand those people. Literally cannot stand them. Sandy, all I can do is be honest when I preach, because you know what? Here's what I know. There's people, y'all can't stand them. I get it. And guess what? God gets it. But here's what God will do to you. He'll keep putting them around you until you get yourself up over it. And I thought, I cannot remember one thing that ever I had done to them to make them not like me. Not one thing. But they've talked about me relentlessly. And here's what my daddy always told me, and it is true. And if y'all get easily offended, get yourself ready. Dad always said when we were teenagers growing up, this is teenage girl advice. He said, Kelly, this is bad. All the ugly girls are going to always be mad at the pretty girls. Just don't let it bother you. They are ugly. And I sat there at that counter, and I just literally started praying the blood of Jesus over my rebellious butt. And I thought, I don't even know if I've got enough character, God, to do what you really want me to do, but we're about to find out. And so help me, God. The second that in my mind and in my heart I get it settled that I'm just going to go do what God wants me to do, my little legs, they literally took me over to their table. Before I realized I was there. And here I'm standing in front of these people that I can't stand and they can't stand me. And here I am and my whole mind just goes blank. And I looked at them and I said, how are you doing? And it just caught them off guard. Because they weren't expecting for me to speak to them. And guess what? I wasn't expecting to speak to them either. But here's what I have really settled, and I got this from the counsel of God, because here's one thing that I don't like. I am a stubborn, stubborn woman, and I am not going to let some little twit get me on the missing the blessing boat. Amen? And I've settled that. I've told myself and all my personalities we're going to get on board with what God has said for me to do to get over it. So I just walked right up their table. I said, "How are you doing?" And she goes, "Okay." And the two wonderful other ladies that I know she was talking about me about, I don't even know them and they don't like me because of whatever it is she said. And I said, "How are you two doing?" And the one was very pleasant. She said, "Oh, we're doing good." The other one, I don't know what was said to her, but I could tell she hated me almost worse than my enemy did. I said, and she didn't answer. And I said, "Well, how are you?" And she said, "Well, good." And I said, "I am so glad that all of y'all are doing well." And there was a guy sitting at the table. And I knew him. And I said, "If you ever need me to help you do anything, you just let me know." And I walked out. I have somebody that I really love, but they have really disappointed the absolute heck out of me with some of their life choices. Y'all feel me? Amen. And this whole year, I've been so mad at what they've decided they want to do with their life. And I've been very disappointed. And I've gone through the roller coaster of emotions. I've seen them parked at Walmart, and I have just avoided Walmart like the plague because I don't know what I would say face to face with them. One day I was pulling out of Walmart after pulling that stunt. See, we're going to all pull our stunts until God tells you you're done pulling your stunts and you're done pulling your shenanigans because I need you to act like a Christian, okay? Because see, if you really are a Christian, God's going to not let you get away with acting like anything other than that. You got a very short time frame he's going to let you get away with that kind of stuff. Because what he really needs you to do is be productive. As I was pulling out of Walmart, he said, "Kelly, I need you to stop avoiding your enemies because they need you more than you'll ever know." I said, "God, I'm mad at them. I'm offended at them. I'm just so disappointed." He said, I need you to just be agreeable and to stop avoiding these divine appointments that I'm setting up because that enemy, they need to see you face to face. There's some things that I need to work out in their life, and you were their pastor, and you were their friend, and you were somebody that they looked up to for their entire life, and I need you in their life. Just because that they've decided that you're not going to be, no, Kelly, I'm going to put you in their presence, and I need you to go along with that. And I said, "God, help me practice that. Because that's something that I'm not very good at." So guess what? I've been running into all my enemies. I literally feel like I won World War III on Friday morning. Because that has been something, Brother Mike, that I have never in my life been able to honestly say, "I'm glad you guys are doing well," and mean it. I've been fake. I've been everything but sincere. when it came to people that have hurt me and don't like me. See, the Word says, bless those that curse you. Bless them. And that's not an easy thing to do. See, God gives you divine counsel. And for every single person that will get on board with His counsel, your life is going to be so favored. You won't even be able to receive all the blessings that He's got for you, because you know how many few people really want to go along with what God tells you to do? It's not easy being good to people that are terrible to you. It's not easy trusting that God is going to take care of something that you don't understand. It's not easy just settling, I don't know why this happened, but I'm just going to go on and just trust you, God. Psalm 23:24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. What really matters in this lifetime? Going to heaven. Going to heaven and taking others with you. That's the only thing you're taking out of life, is souls. Psalm 16:7. We are going to read verses 7-9. And it says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. See, put God before what you want. Because at the end of the day, you honestly don't know what you want, and you don't know what is going to make you happy. And there's something to be said about us fickle folks, because we think we know what's going to make us happy till we get it or till it happens. And then when that happens, we're still not happy, because really happiness is fleeting and joy should be the goal. And we should just be able to be happy in every season. I will bless the Lord at all times. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. There's something about God's counsel that just settles you. When the whole world wants to turn everything about your life upside down and give you all sorts of problems and mess with everything that is your current whatever, there's something about the counsel of God that just totally settles you and grounds you. You can have peace in the worst of scenarios with the counsel of God. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. The counsel of God secures you in every way. Every single way. When you listen and you do what God tells you to do, He hems you in front of you, beside you, behind you. Psalms 32:8-11. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. The generation that we're living in and the society that we're living in is extremely messed up, and it is getting more messed up by the day. Because everybody thinks that God is going to change His mind and that He's going to accept every bit of nonsense and every bit of filth and all of the stuff. And He never will. He never will. And He tells us that in this verse. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way What does that tell us? There is specific direction for every single person, and he will never change his mind about it. A few years ago, we were outside, and I had a volunteer come up to me, and they began to tell me about their cousin. And I am very big into serving. I think everybody should serve in some way. I think it's extremely healthy for people to do something for someone else besides themselves, because we are getting to be a very selfish society that all we care about is ourselves. And when we can shift our attention onto anybody but ourselves, I think we're headed in the right direction. And somebody said, well, Pastor Kelly, could my cousin come and help and blah, 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 about halfway through this conversation, because I was finding it very odd, because I'm not known for turning volunteers down, even if I have them coming out of my ears and I don't need any more. If somebody wants to volunteer, I'm going to find them something to do, whether it's pick lint off of these pictures in the church or whatever we need to do, but I'm going to let people serve because that's a beautiful thing for them to do. And right in mid-conversation, I said, let me ask you this. Are you asking me if your cousin can come and volunteer down here because they're a homosexual? Is that why you're asking me? Because most of the time, you would just know it's a given that people can come and serve. I just got all y'all's interest right there. She said, yeah. God told me in 2019 when I began to be a pastor, I'm going to send you people that the average pastor would do away with. And don't be intimidated by all their baggage and all their crap. And I've tried to do that. I said, well, you just tell your cousin to come on down. Why is that? Because that's exactly what God told me to do. I trust that God can heal and save and deliver everything. We want to look at people that are different than us, and we want to think, oh, they've got cooties and they've got a real sickness. Well, let me tell you something. If the curtain of all of our life was exposed, we'd all want to put a bag over our head and not show our face. That's what I know. One of the things that's made the ministry so successful is we've worked very hard to create an environment where people can come in and not feel judged. And we got that vision by the absolute divine counsel from the Lord. And nowhere in His Word do I see where God said, no, you're a this and you can't come in. No, you're a that and you can't take communion. No, you're this race and you can't do this. See, I never see that in His Word. God gives you the best counsel. Can you be guided? When you have that urge to call everybody that you know, will you call God first? I drove home on Friday, and I was smiling so big. It only took me 40 years to pass this test. I think I'm on my way. I walked out of the coffee shop and I was smiling and I thought, I still don't like you, but I'm gonna get it to where I do. Because here's the problem with people. If we find out somebody doesn't like us, here's the weird thing about humanity that we got to watch, because Christians are really bad about this. And I know this because I'm bad about it. But Melissa, if I'm not careful, if somebody doesn't like me, I will not like them, and I won't know why other than the fact that they don't like me. And then we start getting, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What is the vine? All of the good things that God's put up inside of you, and he's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to give you favor, more anointing, more provision, more of all the good stuff. And it's those little petty things that we indulge ourselves in that are costing us in ways that we don't even know. Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. So that tells us there's a specific way. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Psalms chapter 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. How many of you know forever is a long time? About 15 years ago, when I still had a flip phone, actually it was longer than 15 years ago, it was about 20 to 22 years ago, I was in Clarksville, and I was coming off of the interstate, and I got a text from my dad, and I will never forget it. And it said, I will love you forever. Forever is a long time. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. When you skip the counsel of God and you go on and you do your own thing, guess what? That counsel still stands. It's still there for the taking. Sometimes we mess up. We zig when we should have zagged. Say, well, what do I do then? Go right back to what he counseled you to do. Go right back there in that moment. It's okay to take three steps back and get right back to the right place where you knew you were in right. It's when we blow past everything and we act like, oh, we're okay and God will understand. Yeah, he's going to understand you didn't listen. That's what I'll understand. But the counsel of God standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 through 21. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Number one, can you hear counsel? Can you hear it? See, there's times when in our life where we don't want to hear anything other than what we want. Do you have the ability to hear counsel? To hear it. Number two, can you receive instruction? Can you receive it? Receiving is a verb. It requires an action. Can you receive the instruction? That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. When everything is wrong, his counsel's always right. There's times in life where it literally looks like and seems like everything is wrong. Everything is messed up. We don't know how it got that way and we don't know what to do. Receive his counsel. Receive his instruction. Let him show you and tell you what to do. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Here's why his counsel is so divine. When you get counseling from an earthly person, it's hard for it not to be skewed in some way. It's hard for it not to be biased in some way. God has the ability to counsel you in the most pure way possible. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. See, you will know a man by the fruit that he bears. Why is it important for you to make sure you're getting the counsel of God? Because it will not steer you wrong. Why? Because the Word of God says that the wisdom from heaven is pure in every single way. Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. How many of you have ever been on the receiving end of something that you felt wasn't right and it was because it was impartial and it wasn't in your favor? See, God's counsel isn't like that. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. I tell you all my drama and all my faults